Greetings and salutations. I welcome myself to your ears. Thanks for listening to the Brio Podcast, episode number 6. A couple of quick announcements before we get started. Starting tonight, you can go see the Christian action adventure film Beyond the Mask in a theater near you. Because of its overwhelming popularity through the many gather screenings, a few of which our listeners participated in, Beyond the Mask is going to have a week-long run in many theaters throughout the U.S. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's a Revolutionary War-era action-adventure film with a clear gospel message. It's actually pretty entertaining. I've seen it 3 times now, and I will likely go see it again if I get a chance. Folks, we as Christians need to be supporting these films. It's not a big thing to go out and see a movie. In fact, it's pretty fun. And I'll be the first one to say I'm not a big fan of some of these Christian movies, but this one is very much worth seeing. Kids love it. It's family friendly. It's fun. So take your family, take your friends, take your goldfish. And by the way, I'd like to point out that I'm not getting any kind of kickback for saying all this. No one is paying me to endorse this film. I'm telling you this because it's actually a good movie and it's very much worth going to see. So, okay, enough about that. I also want to make sure that our listeners know about the Global Leadership Summit coming at the end of the summer. Willow Creek's Global Leadership Summit is an incredible leadership enrichment event. It's broadcast live to satellite sites all over the world. And if you live in the River Region, you can attend the summit at Fraser UMC August 6th through 7th. The faculty for the summit includes business leaders, politicians, sociologists, as well as many great pastors. So if you lead any kind of team, I highly recommend you bring them all along and take advantage of this. You can find out more at fraserumc.org/summit. Okay, so this week's podcast features Ken Roach and Patrick Quinn talking about their new book, 7 Steps to Ruin Your Child. Patrick is a teaching pastor at Fraser UMC, and Ken is the director of content development. And I've had the pleasure of working with both of them for several years. And it's going to be a great resource for any young parents who are looking for a straightforward discussion on how to nurture your child's virtues while taming your own vices. That's the tagline for the book. I'd say that not only will this book give you the tools to be a better parent, it'll also equip you to be a better follower of Christ. So I'll shut up now, and you can enjoy this episode of the Brio Podcast.
Copies of the book sitting in front of them for inspirational purposes. Yes. Should they need to, suddenly access them.
Hang on a second. Yeah, just gotta finish reading this chapter.
Yes, for our Patrick, you gotta. Yeah, he's flipping through the book right now and trying to decide. You said you found a typo in there the other day.
Yes, I did.
Which page for everyone? So page. you can say you've identified it.
Page 23.
23.
Yes.
So
missing a word.
Yeah. Patrick and Ken, this is your first book, both of you, and your first book together, but your first book.
That I've read all the way through.
Yeah. That you've ever read.
Yes.
We're looking at it right here, and how to ruin your child in 7 easy steps. Tame your vices, nurture their virtues. So tell me first, how did this get started? Where did you first decide to write this book, and where did the inspiration come from?
Well, I guess it was a sermon series that we did several years back that was the beginnings of what would end up being this book, How to Ruin Your Child in 7 Easy Steps. And it came off of an idea that I had about parenting and looking at what are some things in parenting that we need to identify in our own lives, some character traits in our own lives. And after doing some research and thinking about that, the 7 deadly sins somehow came into that conversation for me. And I think they've always been around for me. My dad and my family are all Catholic on my father's side, and so I was kind of raised with some of those Catholic traditions and things, and the seven deadly sins are one of those areas of life that I heard about growing up. And so I just took another look at those and basically in that sermon series rewrote them for parents. And after doing so, I was amazed on that one sermon how many people responded to it. I had a lot of people respond. It was one of the first sermons at Fraser for me that I think I had people responding from other parts of the country. And I had several people mention to me how helpful it was and just encouraging me to put that down in writing. And then a couple of years later, it took me that long to start conceptualizing what that would look like. And then Ken came into the process and we began down this long, long road of writing a book.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, what, probably going into that sermon, I was really like, what are you talking about? The seven deadly sins? How is that going to tie into parenting at all? But after we dug into it, there were so many things that lined up, I guess, with my own thinking about parenting that it was easy to help start to develop those a little bit further, because it really was a character-driven approach, I guess, you know, not a rules, not here's rules you need to enforce for your children, or here's tips and techniques, sort of surface level, but it really got to the heart issues of parenting. And and probably even going back to when I first read that book, Leadership and Self-Deception, that mm-hmm. talks so much about how our influence on others always begins with changing ourselves. You know, you mentioned the subtitle of the book, Tame Your Vices, Nurture Their Virtues, that this is really, we were able to take the seven deadly sins and look at, you know, not just how do they affect your child, but how do they affect you, because you're not going to be effective in parenting your child through these potential deadly sins unless you're dealing with them in your own heart.
So let me ask a question that is the kind of thing that a critical hipster like myself might ask. Child psychologists, and you have people that, you know, counsel with families and everything like that, and you guys aren't exactly those people. What qualifies you to write a book on parenting?
Oh, I'm totally not qualified from that standpoint. From the standpoint of trying to be the best daddy that I can be to my three children, to foster children that come into my home, and then also trying to be a follower of Jesus, a pastor. I mean, I have those type of experiences, and that is the lens in which I offer this writing. And I think Ken would probably say much the same thing in that regard, and he might add to it, obviously. But I think that this is not written in a way to be some kind of professional child psychologist, offering. This is really, I believe, an opportunity for someone to do some introspection, for someone to do an inventory of their own life and how they're living their life, who they want to be, who they want to produce. Do mm-hmm. you want to produce someone that looks like you? And I think that's what happened for me. I have a daughter who's 17, who's graduating high school in just a couple of days. And as I look back on my time with her, I realize a lot of the mistakes that I made, a lot of the things that I should have done better. But then I look at all the victories too. I look at the things that, hey, you know, I got that right. That was good. That was a healthy way to go about it. And then I started thinking about it in the sense of, who has she seen raise her mom and dad, and how important has that been for her? And over and over and over again, all the reading that I've done from these child psychologists and things, oftentimes you can see where, you know, the type of person that is raising the child really matters. It really, really matters. And so as a pastor, I want people to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And if you can identify some of these deadly sins in your life, root them out, manage them, and pick up some virtues in your life that are in this book that we talk about as well, the seven cardinal virtues, then mm-hmm. I think that you're well on your way to becoming a more solid parent. You're not going to be perfect, but you could become more solid at your parenting approach.
yeah, we're going to charge more for the book. That'll help you actually be perfect. but yeah, I would go in with that and say that, first of all, I mean, Patrick is very transparent in this book. I think that there's probably at least as many, if not more, stories about mistakes that he's made than about successes. Mm-hmm. So there's transparency there on the human side, but then on the authoritative side, you know, we'd really tried to present biblical principles and mm-hmm. not say, well, this is what we think, but this is what the Bible says, and so we're not drawing authority based on our expertise in studying children or parents, but rather, well, this is what the Bible says, and assuming that God has studied children and parents a bit. But I think also...
They were his idea in the first place, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
In many cases, we go to the social science experts who can provide great means to an end, but determining the end is always ultimately a theological question. So, you know, how do I help my child, you know, get to wherever I think they should get to, definitely is something a psychologist or a sociologist or whatever could help me with. But making the decision of what kind of person am I aiming at, that's always going to transcend social science. It's going to be a theological question that everybody's got to answer. And
that's
so
right.
That's where pointing to Scripture and saying, this is what Scripture says it looks like to be a fully functioning, fully mature, integrated human being created in the image of God, ultimately becoming like Jesus Christ. This is what that looks like.
And that's a good point, Ken, because I think that someone who picks up this book also will gain a lot of insight into how the Bible speaks into parenting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that we don't see the relevancy. I think a younger generation sometimes struggles with those stories, and I think that this book will help identify, oh, well, maybe this ancient Scripture has something to say about my modern parenting.
Yeah. I think so often with the Bible, there is a challenge for an individual, particularly a person that may not be as, scripturally literate, to look for the principles that are in place in Scripture that relate to, how do I exactly manage these kinds of things in a modern setting? Dealing with sin that's just as real today, but maybe when we hear words like wrath and gluttony, I think they can kind of tend to go over some people's heads a little bit, or maybe even just kind of feel like, well, yeah, that was a problem, that was a problem back then. But, nobody has trouble with wrath today,
right?
Because nobody uses the word wrath. Like, is just like something that people think has somehow, it's like expired. Well, those sins, we don't have those anymore.
Right.
We have new sins, that involve technology and stuff.
Well, I'll give you a great example. Even with the editors that we worked with on the book and the copy editors, there was a little bit of struggle, and we had to keep clarifying. I think particularly the chapter on envy, I remember... basically, we would define envy as comparing yourself to someone else. You know, instead of looking at how did God design you, you're comparing yourself to someone else and trying to be like them. And so that feeds into some more modern terms that we might use, like self-esteem, self-acceptance, and so forth. But the copy editors were really having trouble with, are you saying that a person who has low, poor self-esteem, isn't it going to make it even worse for their self-esteem if you tell them they have the sin of envy? And we kept trying to say, you're thinking of sin wrong. Sin is this way that we get off track from how God designed us to be.
Yeah.
Don't just think of it as, this rule that I broke.
Yeah.
But this deeper way of being that's missing the mark of what God intended for us. And so when we use these modern terms like self-acceptance, self-esteem, and so forth, that those come out of these roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think, there's that idea that, sin is only the result of a very intentional action, and that's never an inaction that results in, or that if, the people tend to kind of put on this victim mentality sometimes when it comes to some things, when we realize, you can be victimized by your own sin. Mm. And I think that there's, speaking of the word sin, how difficult is it? You seven deadly sins, it's not a hip and popular kind of thing in general. When you talk about that, the word sin is not something when you have, you know, people like Joel Osteen saying that he doesn't even like the word sin. You know, then you say, I'm going to write a whole book about it, and it's going to be about parenting. You know, what? when folks hear that and they're like, yes, I want to read a book about sin as it relates to parenting. You know,
it didn't make it into the title, actually. So
yes.
We did capitulate a little bit there.
Right.
I guess you could.
Yes.
Use the term vices and virtues that although even vice is probably not a word that we hear a lot
right.
outside of like gang movies.
Yeah.
I think that at parents in general, it's one of the fears that you have that you might ruin your child.
Yeah.
That you might do some things that would prevent them from becoming a productive citizen of society. And so I think that my hope is that, yes, we're talking about seven deadly sins, but more importantly, we're talking about the way in which just life in general and this world of chaos we live in with these sins that are there present the possibility of taking our children down destructive paths. And I think hopefully not only Christian parents, but parents of any sort are interested in what are these areas of life that are destructive to our children? I think that while sin is a hard concept for people to accept or want to acknowledge or want to talk about, my hunch will be that parents are still very interested in not just going along with that happy, clappy kind of idea that everything's always going to be okay with our children. I think that there are more parents out there coming to a realization that 90s parenting style, so to speak, is not working. It's not going to produce the type of person that we want to produce. And this idea of just do as I say is not working. And I think that there are parents, I know that I visit with them probably every week as a pastor, that are very much concerned about how do I, as a father, as a mother, make sure that I am parenting my child in ways that are going to honor God. And I think then you have to deal with the nature of sin at some point in that.
And there's certainly just as much positive. You know, Patrick already mentioned the seven cardinal virtues. Really, in some ways, the seven deadly sins are a tongue-in-cheek way that we get into. You know, so when we're talking about pride, well, a lot of the chapters on how do you actually go about developing humility. Or when we talk about wrath, you know, it's a lead-in to how do we talk about developing the positive traits of self-control and justice, you know, those kinds of virtues that we want to see in our children that look healthy and growing and vibrant. So it's not just avoiding these negatives and these pitfalls, but seeing how we can nurture the virtues.
Yeah, and I think that gets kind of towards my next question as well, which is, I was part of naming the series upon which this is somewhat based. So I know this is somewhat a leading question, but you know, why wouldn't you want to name it How to Be a Better Parent, or How to, you know, Seven Steps to Understanding, you know, How to Parent Better, or something like that? You know, is there kind of an idea maybe there that people don't know as much as they don't know what good parenting looks like, they also don't know what bad parenting would look like and need to be maybe alerted to that as well?
Yeah, I think that part of the interesting nature of the title of this book is that I think as you start to read it, you will have those moments where hopefully you laugh at me a little bit with some of the stories, or some of the stories that both Ken and I tell and weave into the lessons, that you also have those aha moments, or you have those ouch moments, and that it actually catches you before maybe you even head down a road that you were already starting to move down. I know that even just reviewing it and writing it and getting into each chapter of it, it caused me to even look at, I have two younger children, 9 and 7, and it caused me a few times in just looking through it to go, Ooh, I remember a few times Ken and I said, I think we need to reread this chapter for our own lives, for our own parenting.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jesus makes this terrifying statement. A student, when he's fully trained, will be like his master. And it's terrifying because when you really honestly look at yourself as a parent and you think about your child becoming just like you, you know, and you know all of your own inner demons and struggles, and you so don't want those for your children.
Right.
You know, that's a scary statement. And yet the flip side of it is there's so much hope, because where it can look like, hey, there's nothing I can do. I tried this, I tried that to change my child, and it's not working.
Yeah.
There's this hope that, oh, if I can change myself, and if I can deal with this issue in my own life, then I can claim this now not as a curse, but as a promise that the student, when he's fully grown, will be like his master. That if I can somehow learn to tame my own temper, you know, to take, you know, one of the seven deadly sins, just if I can deal with this in my life, there's hope that my child will, even when it doesn't seem like I'm finding that perfect technique this week that's going to break this habit in my child, that I can believe this is going to make a difference in the long run if I deal with it in my own heart.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of things that a lot of parents are going to appreciate in this book, just from the discussions we've had. And, you know, I've gotten to look at it recently here since Ken sent me a digital copy to look over. There's a chapter available on Oasis Audio has put out a free audio chapter for folks to listen to and everything. I'm curious though, who would you say this is for? I mean, is it for new parents, soon to be parents? Is it for somebody who's been a parent for, you know, 14 years? Is it, what, who are we really aiming at with this book?
Well, if we go with what the book cover looks like and with what the publisher is definitely leaning toward through, you know, some folks reading it the first time, I think that those younger parents, those elementary school parents, would be that primary target range, because you're just starting to get into some of those issues and you're starting to look at your child and starting to realize, you know, some of the directions your child, maybe they're starting to show anger signs or greed signs, or maybe they are starting to look prideful, or that they're practicing some of these cardinal virtues and how to keep instilling them and nurturing them into their lives. But there again, like Ken and I've been saying, I think this book can help anyone. I think that it can help someone who's not a parent look at their life and who they want others to see in them, and how they are becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. For me, this book would help me, whether I was a parent or not, because it's about becoming the person that Christ has for you to become. And if you can get some of these areas in your life under control, then I think that you just become stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'd also say that as far as parenting goes, and we talk about this in the book, that it doesn't really matter if your child is a baby, an infant, or if your child is a grown adult, there's always a moment when your children are still looking to you and looking at your life and gleaning from you and wanting to learn from you. And I think that even adult children are still looking at their mamas and daddies that are much older. And if there are still things in your life and you're a 60-year-old, that you change or that you adapt or adopt in those more Christian ways, then your child, who's an adult, don't be surprised when they follow in those footsteps, when they make those adaptations and go, well, geez, Dad's really active in church and he's becoming a lot more humble. He was full of pride, you know, and he just seems to be a different man now. I've seen adult children get active in their faith as a result of an older parent making some changes in their life, and then that adult child goes, well, there must be something to that. So I think that's even part of that last chapter. What if you think you've already ruined your child? There are things that you can still do that will impact your children no matter what age they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, maybe that's the upside of this isn't coming from a child psychologist or whatever. There's a lot of universal applicability here. Again, I've had people who've looked at it and said, hey, this is going to help me in my life, period, not just in my parenting. Mm-hmm. And we believe that's true because scriptural principles, you know, it's not just that there's certain scriptures that are just about parenting. It's scripture about how to become like Christ. It applies to parenting, but it applies to everyone.
You know, when my dad published his book, one of the things that he talked about is how we know that the vast majority of books sold are bought by women. And you know, and it's particularly parenting books, men are probably not terribly likely to pick up a book on parenting. It's just kind of the way it is. And so, you know, you're two guys. You wrote this book together. You know, I mean, I think they're especially among men. I hear young mothers say this too. But there's kind of this term that this phrase that I hear a lot. That's like, well, I just do it the way my dad did it, and I turned out okay. You know, I did this and I turned out okay, and I did that and I turned out okay. And, first of all, I guess one of my questions is, do you really think that person probably turned out okay? But aside from that, really more importantly, is okay enough? And what do you say to those kinds of people?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had the same market research that said, hey, you know, most likely it's going to be women that buy your book, and we get that. We certainly would love, as two dads, if more dads would pick up the book or go in a conversation with mom who's reading the book and get intentional about fathering. That would be an exciting outcome for us as two guys writing a book. I was just having a conversation with a friend yesterday, though, who was talking about how life-changing it was for him, that he didn't get really serious about his Christian walk until he went to a marriage and parenting class at his church, another church here in town. And when he was challenged to step up as a dad, that was the catalyst that really changed his whole Christian life, because he had been kind of operating on that model of do it the way my dad did it, you know, maybe a little less cussing at the kids directly. And that's good enough, because it was just to produce a reasonably good American citizen. You know, that mm-hmm. was the goal. But when the goal became, actually, I want to become like Christ, and I want to reproduce that in my children, then it totally changed the way he parented. It totally changed the way he lived his whole life, really.
Yeah. Well, Ken, I know you've got someplace to get to, and I don't want to hold you up, but before we wrap it up here, is there anything, you know, in this book, something that, you know, I'm not just looking for like the overall theme, because, we've talked a lot about that, but, you know, what's something that, and this is for either one of you or both, that you feel like you put into this that you really hope people will see, whether, you know, it's an honest story that you told, or something that really kind of, you feel like is a takeaway, not necessarily the whole takeaway, but is one of the takeaways that you really hope people mine out of this.
Well, to dovetail with the last question and then that question, I hope that dads will pick this up because two dads wrote it, because mm-hmm. maybe a mom passes it on and says, well, look at these two guys, and, you know, check this out, and maybe they will do that. And as a result of them doing that, maybe they will see that okay is not enough. I do think that you asked the question about being okay. I think that that's what we kind of settle for all too often. Mm-hmm. I think that we're supposed to raise spiritual warriors. We're supposed to raise great children for God, and then release them out into this world. And that goes to the one thing that I might be a little nostalgic on that question, Will, because Thursday, my daughter graduates from high school in just 2 days, and we told the story in there about my daughter running, and there's a couple of different instances of her running, and probably one of the most poignant memories for me was when I realized that she was faster than me. That was a little tough, because I'm a slightly competitive guy,
right?
You know,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just a little. And when I realized my 7th grade 12-year-old, 13-year-old daughter was faster than me, and that was a little tough. And there came a moment, and I tell it in the book, that she needed to run ahead. And when she ran ahead, and I gave her permission, you know, do you want to run ahead? And she ran ahead. That was kind of a moment that I realized this is what it's going to feel like when she graduates high school.
Yeah.
When she graduates college, those moments. And honestly, that was one of those moments when I paused, looked up at the heavens, said a prayer, and thought to myself, God, help me be the best parent I can be because I know time is short. Mm-hmm. And she's going to run ahead of me, and I want her to have everything she needs at her disposal to be not just successful, but to be chasing after your heart. And I committed right then and there to be a different parent. I can remember that day committing to be a different parent, and that I wanted her to leave our home with some clear principles, a clear identity, probably more than anything, Will, of who she is. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to have to figure out who she is out in this world over the next 4 years. So many kids are leaving home, and they're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
I want my daughter, and I want all the children to even read, the parents that read this book. What's important is that our children know who they are before they even leave their home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess one story that was, you know, really from the heart for me, and it's in the last chapter, I talk about my mom's grandmother. My mom's dad, my grandfather. I only met him probably twice in my life.
Yeah.
He was an alcoholic and abandoned my mom when she was pretty young. But later in life, he got sober and he got an AA. And at his funeral, you know, hearing story after story of people whose lives were changed because he helped them out of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had an impact on me because, like I said, I never knew him. But I could see that as much as he messed up things for my mom, he was never there for me, per se. Yet he had a legacy for me because he changed.
Yeah.
And I could see he was able to make a difference in the later part of his life. And that inspires me that wherever I'm at, if I find out I've messed up somehow, and I have, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, that it's never too late to do the right thing as best you can, to seek out the grace of God and start living by that grace today and trust the Lord for what that's going to mean for your children and your grandchildren and generations to come.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, just both of what you guys say, it even just speaks to me just in my own life as a child of parents. But you know, when you talk about knowing who you are, Patrick, I think that's so key when I think about how much my family, we had such a strong sense of identity. You know, just by the time we were going off to college, there was just that real strong idea of who we were. We weren't waiting on some friend or some other outside influence to do that. And so, you know, I agree. And your story, Ken, I you know, was not too long ago, we're just walking past our sanctuary here, and there was a funeral going on, and I still don't know who it was. I ended up stopping through, and I ended up listening to Tim give the eulogy there, and I mentioned to Tim later, you know, I think more young people need to stop by a funeral from time to time. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to hear what somebody's life is encapsulated by. Mm-hmm. and say, you know, that's the way I want to be, or that's not the way I want to be. And right. This particular person had a really amazing life, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, I find that kind of thing inspiring, because it does make you say, I want to leave a legacy. And you know, you want to raise children that are going to leave a legacy and look at their life with the end in mind. So before we wrap up, is there any social media outlets that people can follow you guys on to hear more about this book and any future projects you might have going?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and then also Twitter is at Patrick Talks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page set up for the book, How to Ruin Your Child. You can search for that, or I'm at Encroach, Enkroach on Twitter.
So, all right. Well, thanks for joining me today, guys, and to everybody out there. Make good choices out there.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
This episode of the Brio Podcast was brought to you by Fraser UMC in Montgomery, Alabama, who is hosting the Global Leadership Summit on August 6th and 7th. If you'd like to know more about how you can be a better leader at work, at home, in your church, and in your community, visit FraserUMC.org/summit to sign up today.